Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus, and we will die.
Good evening, community of faith. We are beyond thrilled that you are with us. Beyond thrilled. Hopefully, the conversation that comes from my lips will convince you of that. Well, it's going to be a good day. Do you hate it when you're trying to do something and then something else shows up for you to do? What in the world is that all about? Well, you have to have a good dose of chocolate and mint to get started. You need some?
I'm good, thanks.
Glad to share with you. And just a little chocolate and caramel. That'll get you going. It's the land of milk and honey.
Amen.
And that's the land of Canaan. And that's the land where we live. Every year. Are you ready to go live?
I am.
Are you? I think the question is, am I ready to go live? And the obvious answer is, well, yes, certainly. All right. We're going to pick up where we left off on Saturday night. Here we go live.
Waiting for the notification.
We would ask everyone, wow, and the studio audience, if you would please silence your phone. And then, as soon as the program goes live, share it with 15 or 20 people in Messenger. Because now I don't know about your phone. Let me just tell you about mine. With my phone, as soon as I get the messenger, I mean the message, the notification, then it gives me the option to share it in three different places. Do you see the same thing? You don't. You really got to get a better phone. Becca Chapman.
Becca.
Good to have you with us, Becca.
Good to have you with us.
It's always good to see your smiling face. Well, and now it's good to see your husband's smiling face. Come on now. Just do it right. There it is. Because it's right. Do it right, family. There it is. Loretta Perot is with us. Loretta Perot, how's things in the wonderful city of Coleman, Michigan? It's not the West Virginia C-O-A-L. It's the Northern Michigan C-O-L-E. I'm sure there's coal in Michigan somewhere. Well, there was a coal mine over by Standish. Did you know that? Shaft mine.
Just south of Stirling. I think our southern bells are reaching, yeah.
Well, I got my chocolate fix already going. It's a good one. A little bit of Whoppers, a little bit of Milk Duds, a couple of Thin Mints. That's a good start. And beautiful. That's cool. God bless Coleman. Wonderful city. We had an absolutely amazing day here. I don't know what the temperature is up to, but
it was 83 the last I looked.
The last we looked was 83. 82 today, right now. 85 tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness. I think you'd be all right, Ripley.
We're going to pick up where we left off on Saturday night tonight. Saturday night we were talking about, we had a really good question come through. What do you do when you just got to admit it, you got to get yourself back to where you once were in God? And it was a good question, and it was a great time of study on Saturday night. If you didn't get a chance to listen, I would encourage you to go listen, and you can see it on YouTube on your big screen if you have a smart TV, and just a great session with everybody. And then tonight we're going to just kind of pick up on that same note and talk about it a little bit more. Because the most important part of our life is a relationship with God. That's the most important part.
Amen.
And that's not about a church building. And that's not about a degree or a seminary or any rest of it. It's about a relationship with God where you trust him. And then he can trust you. Somebody said they used to haul coal across Lake Erie. Not sure. Might have to ask Jim and Wilma Tony. Wow. Well, the big freighters have hauled coal into a lot of different ports because they use the coal for power in the power plants. I know over in that one place where the boat comes up right next to it and it unloads it right there.
Superior.
Spring Lake, Michigan had a power plant, or Grand Haven or somewhere over there had a power plant. Maybe it was Muskegon. One of those on Lake Michigan had a power plant. There was always a huge pile of coal there that they used to run the...
That was in Marquette, wasn't it?
Marquette? Oh, my. I don't know about that. But anyways, we like Coal Man, Michigan, and we like Coal City, West Virginia. And I never got to haul a load of coal, but I always wanted to. Because those guys made it look like a lot of fun. And it could drive those trucks side of a mountain, man, like straight up the hill. It was amazing to see them guys go. One old boy was telling me about bringing his truck down a coal mine road, and I don't know what gear he said he had it in, but he turned the Jake on, and he said it would slide the back tires all the way down the hill.
Wow.
But what if it rained? He goes, well, he didn't go up that hill if it rained. He'd be stuck up there. Shannon Tony's with us. Shannon Tony?
Hello, Shannon Tony.
I have tried to call you for about 5 days now. And I picked the phone up and somebody else rang. Something dings or something. I don't know. But I'm going to get you called tomorrow. So I want to talk about all the videos we got done and see where that's all at so we can create a plan. Forward. And thank you a gazillion for everything you've done to make that all come together. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And may God continually bless all the boxes to just be right in place in the whole house. Shelves up. Sit, you know, everything just perfect. You just wake up in the morning and everything in the house is just perfect.
And then you sit there going, now what do I do?
Known as coal fields and several family members that work in the coal mines, yeah. I lived in Jackson, Kentucky, Breathitt County. And then I lived down in Harlan County, Kentucky. And you could hear them coal trucks all night.
Really?
Around the corner, man, yeah, just... all night long.
I love that sound. I don't know if I would like it all night long.
Well, it gets to be like a train or an airplane if you live close to the airport. It becomes therapeutic.
Yeah. You just don't hear it anymore.
No.
Like white noise.
Yeah, it's like white noise. But, you know, The one old boy, they told a story about his coal truck. And two guys was coming right alongside of each other. And the ditch side steer blew. Steering wheel tire blew.
Wow.
And when it did, it moved the truck. And when it did, the truck went off the side of the road down in the creek. And they said when the tire blew, so there was a house right there. They said when the tire blew, Jimmy opened the door, and when he jumped halfway across the road, hit on the center line with his feet running and never fell down and ran right up the side of the hill and watched the truck fall down in the river.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
and then you just moved to the other side of the world.
You just, now listen, unless you lived around these kind of folks like this, you might say, oh, Pastor, what are you talking about? But it's just how it was, you know. That's how it was. That was the coolest thing because I was in Harlan, Kentucky. Don't worry, this isn't about tonight, but it's just a good story. And everybody likes a good story, right? You know, somebody throw another log on the fire and get out some hot dogs and some, marshmallows. But I was in Harlan, Kentucky, Harlan County, and I was down there helping a man who had a church. He had a mission there to help people that needed help, needy people. And let's go. So, you know, we got to be friends with everybody there. And I did. I mean, he lived there, you know. So one night he says, we're going to have a union meeting at the church. Come go with me. Enjoy. I'm like, all right, let's go. Of course, you know, I'm like 22 or something. 21, maybe 22, I guess. And we go down to the church, and here's all the guys I've seen at the local country store, and they're all there. And I'm like, how do you have a union in this town? I mean, I understand union in Flint or Detroit or, you know, whatever, but, I mean, we're on the backside of nothing out there, you know. Greasy Creek is what it was called. We pull up, and we get out of Titus's truck, and we're walking up where the guys are all standing. And Jimmy, the guy I was telling you about, his truck went off in the ditch.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy's like, oh, come over here, Sam. So I walk around the other side of his little Toyota. He opens the door, opens the glove box, pulls out a .44 pistol and says, there, stand in the back of my truck. Anybody shows up that don't belong here, just shoot them. and I'm thinking, this is a new kind of, we're in the church parking lot, and the pastor's standing right there, and he was as serious as could be. It was interesting. So now I think I'll pass on that. Thank you very much, but I appreciate the offer, but I ain't up to shooting nobody tonight. So later I said to Titus, I'm like, Titus, why does that pack of sinner men come in here to have their union meeting in the church? He said, because they're all afraid of God. And they won't cuss at each other in here.
Well, it's good they have a fear of the Lord.
Oh, it was a fun experience down there. And, you know, it's probably why I have such a colorful mentality about life. Now, if these stories are not amusing and wonderful and fun to you, you know, just hang on. We'll tell some other ones. You'll like those. I was never so shocked the day we drove up through the holler and went by the one house. And the mom was sitting on the front porch and all the kids were playing in the yard. And they were just plumb bare naked. And one of them had a stitch of clothes on, just out in the yard playing. And, of course, Titus saw the look on my face. He goes, yeah, that's what you saw. I'm like, really? I mean, there was a teenage kid.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They weren't toddlers.
No, they weren't toddlers. There was like six or seven kids. And I'm like, and? He goes, hey, the mom don't want to do laundry all summer, so she just tells them go naked. They don't have to have clothes on.
Well, there, that's
the
laundry problem.
But if you've never lived up, you know, a holler, you don't know any of this kind of stuff. It's fun. And at night, you go outside in the front yard and you listen to the dogs chasing the rabbits and the coons. Arr, arr, hey, there's old Jed. Yep, I can hear Jake out there. Arr. Christopher Timmer. Hey, we're here telling Kentucky stories, Chris. So go ahead, tell one yourself, brother. How you doing, man? We love you. We love you. Give us a update. Tell us the day you're walking
into your new house.
Yeah. Chris Rich, welcome. Good to have you over there on the YouTube side. Mm-hmm. Holding down the fort. Thoroughly expect you tonight, Chris, to deal with everything there. Get everybody saved that shows up with you. Get them filled with the Holy Spirit. Cast out any demons over there.
Amen.
Thoroughly expect your discernment level to be extremely high.
Or at least that you brought donuts.
I get to be in my chair starting tomorrow. Well, hallelujah. At least you get to be in the chair. May the revelation of the healing power of Almighty God flow all through your body, soul, spirit, mind, and in the name of Jesus, you be leaping, jumping, shouting, and dancing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Anybody that needs a donut or a cup of coffee?
Yeah. Woo,
Sister Chris Rich has brought plenty. She's got the big pot going over there. 15 cups of coffee over on Chris Rich's side. So if you're if you're needing sugar, head on over to the YouTube side. They got lots of it over there. I'm drinking water tonight. Sister Leanne and I have really become serious about exercising. So we're drinking a lot of water to the degree that it could even become necessary to pause for a moment this evening and then be back with you in a couple minutes. But anyways, I should probably warn my wife that she probably might want to have her hair done.
That probably would be better. I don't know, it seems like
Okay, well, guys, thanks for being here, man. Thanks for being a mighty, awesome, powerful body of Christ, the army of the Lord. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Hit the right button so you can see. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, let's get the confession out. We'll make that, and then we'll honor the troops. And
no coffee for you?
Yeah, not yet.
Oh, he will.
Not yet. I'll have a cup of coffee. Right now, we got an 85-degree sun shining in that window. And Sister Leanne said, let's go for a walk. 5 miles later, she let me come home. So... just nice, cool drink of water. Good for me tonight. But welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you with us. We are really glad to have you with us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Anything left to do? Are we ready? Everything moving along good?
Pausing. On my Facebook. I haven't heard anybody else saying anything. So.
Can we put the confession in there about everything worked good?
It's there right now.
It's there right now.
It is.
Well, all right then.
You got it.
Everybody just enjoy the confession. Sister Leanne's going to start saying it with you so we can keep right on moving.
Declare this with us tonight and every night for all of our technologies to function effectively. We declare all of our equipment
and all of our technologies function properly every time we come together. From Genesis chapter 1,
we are
fruitful. We multiply. We subdue this earth.
And we
take dominion of our internet signal, our electronic devices and every satellite that is necessary to make it work. We declare you will function properly every time we turn you on. Everything we do as a ministry always succeeds unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. Thank you, Jesus, for the example that you dominated all realms of authority all throughout your ministry, and we walk in your footsteps now. We declare a perfect program tonight and every night to the glory and honor and the praise to the wonderful name of Jesus and to his righteousness that we have been made into. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, let's rise and we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance and then we'll have a moment of silence and we'll be back with you here in just a minute like we always do.
Okay, everyone, here we go with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence. This moment of silence is in honor of all of our warriors and the families that stood beside them. This moment of silence lasts 21 seconds, and it's in recognition of the 21 rifle volleys that are fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This 21 seconds begins now.
Now, if you will, join us in singing God Bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
And now, let's pray for the families of the fallen and wounded and for the United States of America. God and Father of every brave warrior down through American history. Here we are again tonight, community of faith, your body, Jesus. The sons and daughters of Almighty God, ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, ministers of reconciliation, that's what we are, Jesus. And we stand here today in faith declaring, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And we give you the glory and we give you the honor and we give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that all across America tonight, people are praying, forgive us of our sins and heal our land. Everybody pray it with me. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. We know, Lord, that in order for America to become, to be the lead as we are and the blessing that we are all over the world, that every one of us must do our part as American citizens to be a blessing and to be right with you and to do your will. And then to pray for those who are, who live alongside of us. Lord, help me, Sam Cotto, to walk righteously with you. Help Leanne Cottle to walk. Please help her, Lord. Help us to walk in the paths of righteousness. May the community of faith always walk in the paths of righteousness together, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, facing that enemy. And as we march, may it just shake and tremble. Because the proverb says, the wicked flee when no one is chasing them. But we're chasing you. And we're saying, get out of our nation. Get out of this land. You have no place here. Father, we join together in unity right now. Psalm 133, verse 3 says that you have a commanded blessing, a blessing that you command on your people as we walk with you. And so right here, right now, today, we walk in that blessing as brothers and sisters. Lord, every person. I mean, we have North Dakota and West Virginia and Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama and Michigan and North Dakota. We got them all that are represented tonight. And we declare it, may we have somebody from every state that's represented here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Facebook and YouTube and Blog Talk Radio, we declare that as this signal goes out tonight, everyone who is saying, God, I need an answer, they come and receive the answer right here, right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, they receive their answer tonight.
Amen.
Father, we pray over every patriotic organization that is in America today. May we lock arms together and be stronger and more united for the United States of America than we've ever been.
Amen.
Ever in the history of the United States of America. May we be together, walking together with you in the mighty, mighty, awesome name of Jesus. Father, all across the world, Malaysia, Singapore, Pakistan, Africa, Europe, Asia, North and South America, Australia, all over the world, right here, represented right here. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you that you gave us the example that Jesus, you're the lawgiver, you're the judge, and you're the king, and we, your children, live under that authority,
yes,
no matter what the human authority does.
Yes.
And we declare in the mighty name of Jesus into every one of our governments, no matter where we are around the world, that we live by Isaiah chapter 32, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then, Father, as we pray every day, may the good politicians be good. May the bad politicians turn from their ways. Lord, may there be a revival in Congress like we've not seen in years. May they fall on their face in repentance right in the House of Congress like we've never seen it.
Yeah.
May people jump up saying, I've been delivered. I am born again. I am filled with the Spirit. May they jump up and say, I found Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Right in the halls of Congress. We speak it done right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray for all of the defenders, the families of the fallen whose day I remember in their loved ones. They move from this season to the next. I speak it over everyone that's with us. We move from the next season to the next season with no trouble in the mighty name of Jesus. Healing and health and strength and doors open. These people who have given their whole life, according to the word of God, receive that life back. And we bless them. You said blessed are the peacemakers. So right now we bless everyone in all the branches of the military, in all the secret service, in all of our special forces, in all of our police forces. Bless the defenders tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. And thank you for the wonderful peace that we have in the United States of America. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody shout a bigger amen.
A bigger amen.
Now, let's do the Patriot, or no, let's do the prayer against the isms. And then we'll do the Patriot prayer of dedication. And we're going to get right into the message. Tonight, we're going to pick up where we left off on Saturday night. Brother Robert asked a really good question that really took us in a great place. And right back to that place tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, and God's given us a good word for today that will just go right along with it. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. In Jesus' mighty name. I declare our signal. All right, here we go. Everybody pray it with us. To all the isms, it is impossible for you. Isn't that something? I just command you to do what's right. Nothing. Just, if you got it, just go. Here we go. To all the isms, it is impossible for you to destroy the United States of America. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God. And we are rebuilding every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. And we declare that every weapon you have formed against us comes back on you now. And every pit you have dug, you fall into it yourself immediately. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 144, 14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. And now, the Patriot prayer of dedication. Help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for, and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. And we highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain, and that this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom. Right here, right now, today, and this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, give us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. And it just makes you want to sing. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Somebody set up all the fireworks now.
Oh, this is where we needed our peppers. Gotten
you know, Phyllis, I like them 85 degree sun rays too, but woo, they're a little warm tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, well, welcome everybody. We're glad you're here. You know, as I was praying that prayer, Jesus said to everyone who gives up father, mother, sister, brother, houses, and lands, selfless service. Then he said, for my sake and the gospel. Matter of fact, just turn there. Mark 10:29. Let's just look at it. That's good to see you, ma'am. What? Mark 10. It doesn't matter how hard you look at Luke 10. It just is not Mark 10.
This wasn't making any sense.
It just was not right. Now, Mark 10:29 is the result of the rich young ruler coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, what do I got to do to be born again, to be right with you, be a Christian? What did he say? To have eternal life. Jesus said, do all the commandments. He said, I've done those since I was a kid. And he said, well, then one thing you lack, go and sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Do you notice that there's not another reference Jesus said to anybody? Not that Jesus hasn't said that to people before, because he probably was. He probably did. Jesus was helping that man get past himself. Think about it. His money had him. His money had him right by the nostril, couldn't get it loose. And Jesus was saying, this is what you got to do to be able to have eternal life. Follow me. Can you imagine the life he would have had with Jesus? Many people believe he would have been the replacement for Judas, because he was a money man. And Judas was the keeper of the bag. Yes. Keep moving. 29 or 23, Jesus said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples were astonished at his word and said, well, how are we anybody going to be saved then? And he said, children, how hard it is for those who trust riches to enter the kingdom of God. Don't trust in it. Don't use people. Let's see. Use money and love people. Don't use people and love money. Did I get it out?
Yeah.
But watch this. They were greatly astonished, 26. How can anyone be saved? That's what they said. Like, how? If that's the case, Jesus, how are any of us going to be saved? All right? And Jesus said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Say it with me. All things are possible.
All things are possible.
They are. Peter said, we left all to follow you. I want you, here's verse 29. I finally got there. Every one of you here qualify in verse 29 and 30. You ready? Assuredly, I say to you, everyone who has left house or brother or sister, father or mother, children or land for my sake and the gospel, all right, they will receive 100-fold now in this time, and then houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands worth persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, look with me at Luke chapter 18. 18:3. You will receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come, eternal life. Matthew chapter 19. Come on, we're getting it going. I get them fingers going. I got to have fingers going. Get them fingers going, Sally girl. Here we go. Matthew 19:27. Peter answered and said, we've left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, that in the generation when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Hold it. Hold it. These guys just got a little bit more than 100-fold return in this life, didn't they? All of a sudden, because they walked with Jesus doing what's right, they get to sit on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now look at verse 29. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and eternal life. Now, why are you saying all this, Pastor? Some of you right now need a breakthrough in an area in your life. And you might be saying, I don't know how to get this breakthrough to happen, Pastor. But every single one of you who have come here night after night after night after night after night after night, making this happen for anybody that shows up, you have every right to stand on this verse and say, I've given up my life for the gospel's sake. Now watch. You know what that means? That means you get 100-fold return. What is it that you need? Whatever you have sown is what you're going to reap. Here's the cool thing about what I'm saying to you. You've already sown it. Say it with me. It's already sown seed.
Already sown seed.
Those of you that have been here since the beginning?
Yeah, wow.
You've got 400 days of sown seed every day. Grab a hold of this verse and break some stuff off your life, because you already sowed the seed for the amazing victory in your life. It's already done. Everybody say, I'm going to reap what I sow. Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. Think about what you reap. You sowed. You sowed an atmosphere of faith. And because you sowed this atmosphere of faith, now that means faith is going to come to your life. You sowed an atmosphere where people could come and get questions answered. Guess what? That means in your life, you guys get to have your questions answered. What is the greatest question you have right now today in your Christian life that you're talking to God about and you ain't talking to none of the rest of us about it? But wait, you provided an atmosphere here for questions to be answered. That means because you willingly gave of your life and provided this, that means willingly God gets involved and provides for you everything you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
How serious is that?
Right.
The love you've shown, the prayers you've prayed. Right now, whatever it is you need, every time you sow it, you're setting up a harvest to reap it. Setting up a harvest to reap it in the mighty, awesome, wonderful name of Jesus. Why did I stop? Well, I better catch up on all the comments here. See what we're talking about with the answers from God's word for people. Because here's the reality. God very specifically, during our prayer time, told me to speak to those of you that are here. You've already sown the seed. I have already sown the seed.
Already sown the seed.
You've already sown the seed. Guess what? That means the harvest is yours to have. The harvest is yours to have. Watch this. The Spirit of Almighty God, right here, right now, is moving for everybody that's sitting here. What is it that you're needing? Here's why I'm stopping and making sure we're getting this. Because every single one of you that have made this work, every one of you that have made this work already have such a huge harvest that is already set up in your life. But if you don't realize it's a harvest, or if somebody somewhere taught you against seed time and harvest, then you won't even expect it. Or you'll think I'm wrong for teaching it right there. And I want you to see that Jesus very specifically said to the disciples, he very specifically said, wait, guys, you've already sown the seed. With man, man's efforts, it's impossible. But with God, he's saying to the disciples, you've already sowed the seed, and you're now going to reap a hundredfold return in every area of your life. And literally, every one of you that have provided this atmosphere and this platform for people to be able to get, I'm going to tell you right now, you are staged to have everything you need come from God. And you might say, wow, Pastor, people have said seed time and harvest is somebody's going to take an offering from me. Well, money's a seed. You can sow money as a seed. But that's not the only thing you sow. What is it that we teach here that everybody sows? Your time, your talent, and your treasure. All right? Now, what does that mean? That means in your life, when you sow time, you're going to reap a hundredfold time. When you sow your talent, you're going to reap a hundredfold talent back in your life. When you sow the blessing of the Lord to other people, that means it's coming back to you a hundredfold return if you keep this right and if you keep yourself walking according to the word of God. I just showed you in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of those, spoke the parable, or it's not the parable, the story of the rich young ruler. At one point, the disciples said to Jesus, we've left all to follow you. And Jesus said to the disciples, have you lacked anything in following me? And they said, no, we didn't lack a thing following you. Well, think about it. If Jesus, not if, since Jesus would feed the 4,000 off a fish meal, I mean, the 5,000, that is 20,000 people is what he actually fed. all of a sudden we realize, hold it, it doesn't matter what you need, especially if what you need is an answer that comes from the Word to give you that next level of understanding in the things of God. Say it with me. I go to the next level of understanding.
I go to the next level of understanding.
I go to the next level of understanding. Amen. Amen. Why? Because you got to get there. The greatest thing that any of us are ever going to fight is the revelation of where I'm at and what revelation I got to have to get to that next level. You know, Brother Robert the other night said, his question was, what do you do when you feel like what you used to do in God, you can't even find it anywhere? Or something like that. Back, however he said it. But the idea is, how do you get back to God? How do you get there? Hey, Singapore is here. Everybody give 3 cheers for Singapore. Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Hip, hip, hooray, 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 hooray.
So good to see you here.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Now watch this. I think of Mike and Shannon, Dan and Gwen, Dave and Gwen, Brother Rob Mulderman, Rebecca Smith. You guys been there since the beginning. Phyllis came, he's been there a long time. I don't remember when Phyllis came, but Phyllis been there a long time. Every single one of you have so much seed in the ground, victory and peace and strength. What you got to do is get that word up, Mary, pastor it. I'm going to get in trouble for not saying enough names. But it's all right. If you've been here a long time, say, well, pastor, what about me? Amen. Watch this. The answer every time for all of our lives is, what word are you standing on? What word are you standing on? You've created an atmosphere for people to come and get the word.
Yes.
Now, what word are you standing on right now for that next level of breakthrough that you need? Because you don't get breakthrough because you hang around this. You get breakthrough because you're standing on the word. If you hang around this, you will get word to stand on. Yeah. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Say that right. Yeah. Did I say it confusingly? If I said it in a way that doesn't make sense, somebody say it again, Pastor, because I will. Because God really wants us to break through this phase right here. Because here's what's going to happen. Every single one of us are going to have a time in our life when what we once did, there ain't no way to get it done right now. Your job might change. Your family might change. The yard might change. Who knows what it is that changes, all right? But have you seen that meme about mowing grass in Mississippi? It's a good one. It's a guy with a little push mower, and he's up in the grass that's about 4 feet tall. And it says, everyone from Mississippi between the rainstorms. Of course, like Sister Phyllis said, she likes 85 degree sun rays. Well, when it rains and there's 85 degree sun rays, the grass goes, you can stand alongside of it and feel it grow up your leg, all right? It's a serious issue. But what's the point? It doesn't matter what's in your life. Get the word and stand on it. Most of all, get along. Get alone with God. Get alone with God. And continually walk with him. And say, show me, reveal to me, and speak to me. Think about our God. God is not going to give you this big plan and a big opportunity and then get you moving in something that's just flowing. and then all of a sudden say, oh, I don't want you there. I'll put you over there. That's God. That's not God. Wait, everybody hear it? That is not God. That's a deceiving spirit. God builds stability. God builds solidity. God builds depth. God builds roots. God builds foundation. And any other voice that takes you off of those, you got to look at it and say, wait. That's not God. Because God's building a foundation in my life that is solid and stable and certain and sure. He don't lead by confusion. He don't do that. He don't do that. A spirit of distraction will do that, which might come in a human, which might come from some preacher's statement somewhere. You never know. I mean, in the day we live, distraction can come from a good person, a bad person.
Yeah.
It can come from a preacher. Distraction can come from a preacher. And anytime there's a voice saying, go away from the solidity that you've had, just nail that sucker right now and say, you are not of God. You are not of God. Why? Because God is about solid. God is about stable. God is about family. Now, here's the next challenge that all of us face. Watch this. Am I preaching too hard?
No.
All right. Here's the challenge that we all face. Every single time this comes up in our life, is it about me that I see that I don't know I can get past the me that I see? You ever had a part of me, of you, of me, you, of you, me, that you look at and you're like, how in the world did I get past that one? But wait. It is always the greatest answer. Why? Because as soon as you see it and you get the word of God on it, you'll move right past it just like that. Let's talk about the number one force that anybody's ever got to deal with in the kingdom of God. And it's the number one negative force anybody's ever got to deal with in the kingdom of God is offense.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Then it got quiet. You know what the number one offense people have to deal with? Something that happened from somebody years ago that was never dealt with. Not even the people that are around. People are offended and deeply just frustrated and confused, and the person they're offended with is dead. You can't imagine how many times I have had to help people get past things, and the person that they were offended with is actually already gone to heaven. And they look at me and say, well, what do I do? I'm like, well, why don't you forgive them in your heart, drop the charges, because there's nothing you can do. You got to drop those charges and then learn to live outside of whatever that statement was, whatever that offense was in their life. It's one of the number one things that stop us in our Christian life. It's one of the number one things that stop us in a Christian life. You know the worst offense you can ever have? I feel like it got real quiet real quick here. Wait, I'm not trying to make things like difficult or scary or any of the rest of it. I'm very seriously instructed by God to help us get past a sticking point. We got to get past this sticking point in our life. The sticking point ain't Brother So-and-so. It ain't Pastor Sam. It ain't anybody else. The sticking point is what's sticking in your life that's got you stuck. And I have met people. I met a man, honestly. I met a man who was offended with his kindergarten teacher because he slapped him on the hand with a ruler. Anybody have that happen to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm still angry about it.
And you're still angry about it. All right, we're going to pause for a minute. Everybody pray for Sister Leanne to get past the defense she has in her life.
Okay, I'm better.
Wow, you guys' prayers work real good. Here you go. Watch. I want you to see this. One of the greatest things we've got to do is have the Father help us pull off all those bands. Let me see, how can I, it's like they got you wrapped up in a rope, like the fence just kept wrapping around you, tightening up. And now you're just like all tied in a knot. And we got to bring those Holy Ghost scissors and cut all those ropes off you and get you free from it. And the greatest place we got to get you free is in your mind. Because your mind is where it rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls. And you remember and remember and remember what was said, what was done, the picture, the situation, the feeling, the emotion. There's a whole lot of stuff that goes with it. And then we learned this year that God really has been dealing with us on this. The traumatic process in your body that actually happens physically because something either emotionally or, spiritually, however you want to say that. And you can use all of those words, all the psychological words. But I'm going to tell you, when you're holding something against somebody, it's going to hold off your healing. It's going to hold off your understanding. It's going to hold off your wisdom. It's going to hold off the breakthroughs of God. Why? Because it begins to cause you to question everything that's right.
Wow. Yeah.
And the answer can be standing right in front of you, but you're questioning it. Why? Because that spirit knows if you can get free from offense, you'll be free the rest of your life. You'll be the rest of your life. So you ready? Everybody say this with me. Right now in Jesus' name.
Right now in Jesus' name.
I declare there is no trauma.
I declare there is no trauma.
No physical effect.
No physical effect.
From a horrible situation.
From a horrible situation.
That has any grip on my life.
That has any grip.
I want you to pause for a moment and think about some of those horrible situations. When I made that statement, if one came to your life, your mind immediately, we got to deal with that one right there first off. You ready? Let's do it again. Say, no matter what the trauma,
no matter what the trauma,
Jesus came to set the captive free.
Jesus came to set the captive free.
All yokes of bondage are broken.
All yokes of bondage are broken.
I am not yoked to that situation any longer.
I am not yoked to that situation anymore.
Not another day.
Not another day.
Not another day. Say it. The yokes are broken.
The yokes are broken.
Ready? Whatever the word is you want to do. As Shannon said, it's like a rubber band around your head. Well, the rubber band's broke. It's broke. One guy said, it's like a steel band around my head. Broke. We cut it. Say it. I forgive them now.
I forgive them now. I forgive them.
Ready? Now do this. And I forgive me for holding on to it so long.
Wow. And I forgive me for holding on to it so long.
If you're new here, you might be like, wow, this guy goes right to it. Well, this is what we always do because we're not playing no religious game here. This isn't cute little religion. This is a time of ministry to set you free every single day so that every time you leave here, you're like, wow, I feel greater today than when I walked in here. This is called a healing room established by God. It's a healing room. Now watch. Pastor, what if it's my mate that is still alive in my life? Don't nobody post anything. If it's your mate, please don't tell everybody because we want your mate to be able to come here and receive life from this situation. Watch this. If it's your mate that you're with, you got some extra work to do. Why? Because you got to love them, and you got to forgive them, and you got to dwell together with them in peace. It's the assignment and the instruction of Almighty God. Now, Jesus, where am I at? I sure ain't in my notes, I can tell you right now. Look at Phyllis being very King James. With God, all things are possible. Love you, Phyllis. Now, watch this. Let's grab a verse on this. Jesus said, it is impossible. Offenses are going to come, but woe to him through whom the offense comes. That's the verse I'm looking for. If you find that, throw that reference in there, and we will grab that with you. That verse is not in my notes. Luke 17. Jesus warns of offense. Yes, there you go. Watch this. I really, seriously, guys, we've got to nail this down, because here's what's coming right now at every one of us. Say it with me. Summer. Most of you in the southern part of the United States are already experiencing many wonderful days of summer. And here in North Dakota, we've now experienced, you know, 5 or 6 of them. But this is what happens when summer comes. You're going to go be with people. You're going to go do things that's not necessarily going to be here. You might even say, wait, I really want to be with the folks over there and study the word. But there's going to be some times you're going to be like, wait, I got to go do this.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to go do. Why am I saying what I'm saying to you right now? Because some of those people you're going to be with are going to be the ones that cause you the most trouble.
Wow. That's true.
And when you walk in the door, if you decide to, you better have on the armor of the Lord. You better have on the breastplate of righteousness. You better have on the shield of faith, or you're going to go right back into the old mentality and then walk out feeling defeated, and there isn't a good reason to ever do that again another day of your life. But it's not a game. And I'm telling you right now, in the last week, I've had 5 people text me, message me, email me something that talked about how absolutely freaked out a whole bunch of situations are in their life. I'm never going to use a name, because that's not what the process is. Watch. Here's the answer. It is of absolute importance that you deal with this stuff now from the Word of God, so that if there's any way to be a blessing there, you can actually be a blessing. But I'm going to tell you, if you walk in the door offended, you're going to walk out the door offended. If you walk in the door, listen, man, this is an interesting message tonight. If you walk in the door in weakness, it's going to be tough to walk out the door in strength. If the Holy Spirit of God says go in there and make things right, then go in and make it right. But the idea is this. You've got to have your answers from this word. Why? Because it's only the word that is going to make you stand. It's the only thing there is that can make you stand is the word of God. So, get the word. You ready? Luke 17:1. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
Said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. All right? Let's say it this way. I'm telling you, offenses are coming. All right? Woe to him through whom the offense comes. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than he should hurt one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Look at verse 5. And the apostles, the disciples said, oh, my Lord, increase our faith.
You've got to help us with this one.
Wait. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew to deal with that somebody you was going to have to deal with was going to take a whole lot of faith?
Yeah.
Guys, people who are in a very bad position of life, it takes faith to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And the only place to get faith is the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So you got to get the word in you or you're not going to have the faith to operate in the right way with the people that's got the mess going on. Is that making sense? I really am trying to make sense. All right. Now, I'm not insecure. I can just see. I can see what the Father's saying to me right now. I can really see what he's saying to me. This is something that people are going to be dealing with right now, and we got to help you get up to this thing and learn how to deal with it. All right? Let's keep reading. We're now in verse 6, and we'll probably run down to verse 10. Watch this. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be removed, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself, serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Likewise, you, when you've done all those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what our duty was to do. Now watch. Jesus is talking about forgiveness. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate your help. Help me not tie this person somewhere to a wall. I did get a couple comments come through right there. So all of a sudden, there you go. I got that comment. All right. Now watch this. There's some people that's exactly how bad they're going to rub you.
Oh, yeah.
But listen to this now. I want you to hear this. It's because what's inside of their life is a mess. Or it's because of what's inside of your life is a mess. Now, some people are not offensive to it at all, but because your own heart is a mess, you're offended at everything everybody says. And then other times you don't have an offense issue, But it's the just absolute ridiculousness of some people whose heart is such a mess, and they're not going to get over it. I was talking to a pastor one time about Dr. Barker. He said, "I don't understand you." I said, "Well, I don't know why you said that." He goes, "Why, when you know that same person is always going to be offensive to you, why do you choose to go around them?" And I said, he goes, "Yeah, exactly." Now listen, because he didn't know who it was. Or no, I guess he did know who it was. He said, "It doesn't matter who they are. If every time you get near them, they are offending you, you got to check two things. Number one, check your own heart. Am I holding something against them and they're not actually even doing anything wrong? Or a mess inside their own life that it doesn't matter as soon as you get near them, they're going to start making a mess?" No. "Pastor, why are you teaching this? You're trying to tell us to go away from people?" Well, no, but we're entering summer and bonfires and family picnics and graduation parties and wedding parties and whatever it is you and your folks do, you're going to be faced with some of these people. The pandemic kind of helped everybody just stay home, and at least you didn't have to be around the weirdos. All right? But wait. If while you were staying home and you weren't around weirdos, you realized you still had a sour belly, guess whose problem that one is? That ain't anybody else. That's yours. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Man, Father, you are, Holy Spirit, you are so good to us. You are so good. Thank you for this word tonight. Thank you for the revelation of the knowledge of the word of God in our lives right here, right now, today, giving us strength to get past this in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Gotcha. Verse 23, Proverbs 4. Let's go 20 through 24. Proverbs 4, 20 through 24. Proverbs 4, verse 20. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." So the word of God is what you got to keep in your heart. Now look at verse 23. "Keep your heart with all diligence." Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, springs all the issues. You keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs all the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Now, Pastor, what is that all about? Well, it's about this. Nobody is in charge of your heart. Say this with me. I control my heart. If your heart is offended, you got to deal with your heart first, because it's the first part of dealing with offense is your own heart. It doesn't matter how much you point at somebody else. If your heart is offended, if you didn't guard your heart, there's nothing else you can do but admit, hold it, I got to get control of me so that I can be strong and deal with this. What was Jesus teaching the disciples? Protect your own heart. Now watch. That doesn't mean become an introvert out in the woods all by yourself living underneath a tree and never talking to any person. What you have to learn to do is get people in the proper place in your life.
Yeah.
Let's talk about offense. Why is it that people are offended with someone else? Please just stick with me on this. I really want you to hear this message tonight. You really got to hear this. Watch this. Why do people get offended with other people? It always comes down to one person expected the other person to perform at this level, and they perform down here at this level, and because you expect, now it causes an offense. I'm like, I went to Dr. Barkley one time, and I'm like, Pastor, I don't know what's going on. He goes, well, I do. You're offended at me. You know, it's always wise. Look around the room, see if you heard somebody else talking, you know. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to be offended at you. You're my pastor. How can I be offended at you? That ain't going to work. He goes, oh, no, it's not going to work, but you're offended at me. I'm like, Well, when the man of God is sitting in front of you who prays for your life day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, there's not nobody else on the earth has ever prayed as many prayers as your pastor has. Don't look at him and say, no, you're wrong. Well, he spent hours in prayer saying, Lord, help me help that person. Yeah. What? So I just said, I must be offended. He goes, yep, you are. I'm like, well, how am I offended? He said, because you're expecting me to do this, 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 and this. And he named all three things. I said, well, you're right. I do expect that. And he didn't even hesitate. He said, I will never do that for you. Okay. Like never? He goes, nope, never. I'll never do that. I'm like, you mean like just never, never? He goes, nope, I'll never do that. I'm like, He goes, are you offended? I'm like, well, I don't know how I can be offended if you're never going to do that. Why would I ever be offended since I know you're never going to do that for me? He goes, and there's the basis of all offense. I'm like, what? He goes, you expected somebody else to perform in a way that they couldn't perform in. And so because of it, your expectation was this high, their output was this high, and now your thoughts of them are this low. And it causes offense. All right. Since we're in an education situation here, then teach me something. He said, quit putting people in a place where they don't belong. Wow.
And that is so true.
Ready? Can I mess with everybody? Wait, let's just try. How's everybody doing? Everybody just check in and tell me if you're all right yet. If I've jumped on your toes too hard or something. Everybody all right? Everybody all right? Usually we're happy and we're talking about joyful things. But I'm going to tell you, during that prayer for the troops in America, I could see I got to deal with this because we are getting ready to come face to face with a situation. And you need to have the confidence and the biblical basis of how to deal with the situation. Mm-hmm. When he said that to me, thank you, Rebecca. When he said, tell us what that was. Uh-oh. You have to tell me what that is. Now, here's the thing. What Pastor taught me that day is, good. Sunday's good, too. Chris is good. I'm sure everybody's good. Just wanted to have everybody touch something because this tends to get a little real serious. And let's keep it from getting serious so that we can have the joy of the Lord while we learn this lesson. All right? Watch this. I said, well, Pastor, how do I make this work? He goes, well, if I'm not ever going to do that, what do you have to worry about? He goes, what are your thoughts going to be if I'm not ever going to do that for you? I'm like, well, I guess I probably should stop thinking those thoughts. He goes, then how can you be offended if you stop thinking those thoughts and I'm never going to do it and you know it? How can there be any offense? I'm like, well, there'll be any offense. He goes, there's the answer. There's the answer. Now, here we go. You ready? Let's grab the next level. Let's talk about your mom or your dad. How many of you know your mama and your daddy are the people you probably have the highest point in your life? Unless they've lived a life that brought them down into reality. But most of us look up to our parents with the greatest degree. But when mom and dad have earned by their actions of life this level, and you worship them up at this level, you're going to be offended by them because they're not going to be able to produce at that level. And you might as well bring your patient level down where it needs to be so that you can receive at the level they can produce. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Jesus said to the rich young ruler, all right, you've kept all the commandments. Go sell your stuff. Where was he dealing with the rich young ruler? Right where the rich young ruler is at. He was dealing with it right where he's at. Brother Terry Mize. We talk about him a lot around here. Brother Terry Mize has a very good teaching on spiritual authority. But I got a word for you. Brother Terry Mize is also a very natural man. He loves to hunt and fish. He's got it. He wears his pistol every time he's home, his buck knife or whatever that thing is he wears. And he's a man's man. He's a man's man. He's a good man. He's a Texan. He's a man's man. And he came home from traveling around the world somewhere in a big crusade, thousands of people filling the crusade. And he walked in the door and his wife, Jackie, said, can you please take the garbage out? And he's like, Jackie, do you not know who I am? I just returned home and there was 20,000 people at the Coliseum and 5,000 of them got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and healed. And she said, and you're my husband. Take the trash out. Wait a minute. It's the reality of what life is.
Yeah.
It's the reality. Your husband is your husband. And your wife is your wife. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what. You made a vow. You said, I vow to you, I'm going to be with you. So guess what that means? That means you need to change and you need to help them have the atmosphere where they can change. What? Woo, Jesus. Well, but Pastor, he's the husband. He's supposed to be my spiritual giant. All right, let's ask a simple question. Is he? It's not about what he's supposed to be. It's about, is he that spiritual giant? Isn't the greatest thing you got to do is let that person come back down to the place where they belong and then let them be everything they're supposed to be at that level? And nobody have an improper expectation of the other person. Now, why is this so important? Because it's all right, Audrey. Please don't text and drive. We don't want you to get a ticket because you're trying to text us. Just shout amen in the spirit and we'll all catch it. Love you. Love you, Audrey. Why is this so important? Because what it does is it helps you find out who you are, and then it helps you realize who the other people are in your life and where you're supposed to have them. In the day we live, there's a lot of people that their banker is more important to them than their pastor. Huh? There's a lot of women in this world who their girlfriends are more important to them than their husband. Hold it. Fair time. There's a lot of men who the bros and the buds out in the man cave are more important to them than their wife, unless it comes to having sex. I know this is really real tonight. This is really real, but it's okay. We're real people.
Amen.
We're real people.
Amen.
Pastor, how do I get him out of that man cave? And how do I get her out of all them girlfriends? Well, you got to be the person that quits saying all the statements that are destructive, whether you're the man or the woman. Woo! This is good teaching tonight. I'm doing really good. And I ain't used nobody's name, and I ain't told nobody's stories, so nobody can be offended at me. Why? I've heard men say, I'll never marry a woman the day of my life. I'm the sorriest thing on the face of the earth, a woman. Pretty to look at, but you sure can't handle them. Huh? I've heard women say, men, you can't live with them, and you can't live without them, so you might as well put up with drudgery. I've heard them say that. Wait a minute. Don't admit it if it's you, please. Do not admit it if it's you. Wait, Pastor, what are you teaching us? I'm teaching you, you got to guard your heart and most of all your mouth. Because that mouth is getting you in trouble. Now, the mouth is coming from the heart, so you got to fix what's in this heart. Let's deal with your mama and your daddy. All right? My dad's in heaven. Was my dad perfect? Nah. No, he actually gave me a whipping, so that means he ain't perfect. Because I didn't do anything wrong. You ever been there in your life? Why, you're whipping me? I didn't do nothing wrong. You ever have your mom or dad half kill you when they was disciplining you? I thought my dad, I don't think it was half. I think it was three-quarter killed me the one time. Quote, unquote. But well, I deserved it. And he knew he better bring me up short. I guarantee you this. He brought me up short. And I never challenged him again another day of that. No reason to ever make dad that mad. Another day of my life at any man's notice. Ever. I learned a very good lesson that day. And it was going to last for a very, very, very long time. Now watch. But see, you might have had a mom or dad that was really, truly abusive of you. You might have grew up in a bad, I didn't grow up in a bad situation, but many people grow up in horrendous situations with their parents. Please don't post it here publicly. If you need to share it with someone, share it with us privately. Don't put it public because we want your parents, if they're still alive, to be able to come and enjoy the time with us too. So let's say you were someone who truly was abused as a child. You're going to have to forgive. And if you're no longer the child under their authority, don't ever put yourself under their authority again.
Amen.
God does not require you to be under the authority of an abusive person. He does not require that. God says, honor your father and your mother. They gave you birth. He says to honor them. But you don't have to respect them if they do wrong. All right. How do we get past that, Pastor? Because that's where I'm at. Well, all right. If you're there, I really appreciate you not saying anything. Because we have a very open forum here. If we talk about people publicly, then they're not ever going to come to this program because you talked about it. And we can't do that. We want everybody to be here. All right. And we don't want anybody to have any judgment against them when they show up.
Right?
Now watch. There's only one thing you can do, and that is, number one, forgive and drop the charges. You forgive and you say, I don't know why they did it, but I forgive them. And then out of your own mouth, you make sure you make this declaration. I break the traumatic events from my life in the name of Jesus. Say it. Break the traumatic events.
Break the
traumatic
events.
Break the traumatic events in my life. That's the first thing you do, is you break that trauma yourself by your words out loud, and you say it. Trauma is broken. If you need a good verse on that, that is Luke chapter 4, verse 17. This came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captive free. And that's what he did, and that's what you do. And the next verse is Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. You and I have the ability inside of us to set people free. So the number one person you got to get set free is you. Now, so set yourself free. The next thing you got to do is don't put yourself back in that situation that gives them the opportunity to do that thing to you again in the mighty name of Jesus. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Pastor, it's my mom. I have to be around her. He's my dad. I have to. No. You can be near them and love them from a distance. You do not have to be underneath that abuse. You just don't. And it's not wise. Because then you'll start hating your own self because you don't stand up for yourself. No, be your own man with no offense. Be your own woman with no offense. Why? I will not be offended because I'm keeping them at the proper level.
Yeah.
Now watch what Mary said. I had a couple of pastors on a pedestal once. It hurts when they fall. Did you remember what Jimmy Swaggart said? Jimmy Swaggart said, I had earned this level of Christianity and the body of Christ moved me to this level. Had I not believed them and stayed who I was, I would have never fallen. But I let them tell me I was up here, and because I did, I got up into a place where I didn't belong. And of course, I fell. That's Jimmy Swaggart's word. Of his own confession, making a declaration, saying that about his own life. Now watch. You may have had a pastor that you put in the wrong spot. Well, get him in the right spot because he's the most important person in your life. Pastor, why do you call a pastor the most important person in your life? Because there's nobody else on the face of this earth who's going to pray about absolutely every area of your life. He's going to pray about your marriage. He's going to pray about your money. He's going to pray about your kids. He's going to pray about the vision. He's going to pray about your future. He's going to bind the past. There ain't nobody else on the face of this earth that does all of that for you. Why are you saying all this? Because you got to get people in the right place of your life. I see this happen. Let me say it differently. I have seen this happen being in a church. I've seen it happen. A guest minister comes into a church, stands up front, begins to prophesy a bunch of kookamani stuff, and the pastor don't stand up and say, stop it. Guess what? The people believe the word. And off they go. And off they go. Because somebody was saying something that was out of order in God. And when if you believe something out of order, you're going to be standing out there somewhere all of a sudden saying, what in the world am I doing out here? How come everything stopped? And it's because we let somebody who wasn't supposed to be a somebody take us somewhere we weren't supposed to be. That doesn't matter if it's your pastor, your boss, a business, huh? An Amway distributor. Melaleuca or any rest of it. It's all right. It's just like Amway, only better. It's okay. There ain't a thing wrong with them until you start trying to control people. That's what messes it all up. Now watch. When your mama and daddy try to control you and you're an adult person, you got to have the conversation. That's not who you are in my life. So do that. It's simple. Just don't do that. I love you. I respect you. And I'll always respect you as your mama, as my mama. But don't pull that stunt on me. No, I ain't happening. Well, Mary or Rebecca, there's some people when you say Amway, they throw things at you. So I always chuckle because I was in Amway, and then I was in just like Amway, only better. All right, but anyways, a great bunch of people, great organization. And if they would have done what the founders designed it to do, it wouldn't have had any of the bad stuff. But I want you to see something. You know why there's ever a bad story with Amway? Because somebody who was in the business did something with it that was outside of what the business was supposed to do. And now what would have? An offense inside the business. And what happened? Because it's interpersonal relationships, people are offended. And then because they don't know how to deal with offense, then everybody runs away from each other. And we all sit over in the corner, hide, like, oh, I don't know what to do about that person. Well, number one, go to them in love and say, I'm going to deal with this. I'm not going to have any unlove in my life. Yeah. Amen? Watch.
Yeah,
it's going to cause you damage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Say it with me. I got to guard my heart. But that doesn't mean be a gnarly cuss. 13. Watch this. When the proverb says guard your heart, it is not saying become a loner. And if you're becoming a loner, you're trying to deal with offense and with people the wrong way. Because in God, he don't have any loners. How are you going to win the world if you're a loner? I heard somebody say, Pastor, you really got to teach me something now. Well, it's the truth.
Yeah.
How are you going to be anything in the gospel of Jesus Christ if you're a loner? Because the only thing the gospel is about is helping lost people get found. So what's that mean? We got to do, all of us. We got to find ourselves, find God, get free, and now we can just take the freedom that we are and go bless other people. Listen, I know some of you right now, you're like, Pastor, I'm not in any shape to go help other people. I can't even get free myself. I understand that. And I'm not going to put you out there trying to help other people till we get you free. But here's the revelation of it. As soon as we get you free right now tonight, you will love and enjoy helping other people. Why? Because you won't have any offense. There won't be a pit in your stomach. There won't be a fear of what if they do this to me or that. You won't do it. Why? Because you'll keep them in the right place. And you'll never betray. And you'll never offend, and you'll never do wrong to people. And if they come to you and say, Brother, you did this, well, please forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. I will never do that to you. So let's talk about the situation. What did you say? I said this, and you said that, and you said that. No. Well, when you said that, I meant this when I said that. Are you serious? What? I'm serious. Because see, what happens when there's offense is somebody stops dealing. And when they do, that turns to offense. If you don't deal with offense, it turns to anger. And if you don't deal with anger, it turns to hatred. And if you don't deal with hatred, you know what's next? Usually physical abuse. And if you don't deal with physical abuse, you're really close to somebody murdering somebody. And somewhere in there, somebody will operate in character assassination. They may not ever kill somebody in the body, but they'll assassinate your character, and they'll tell everybody everything, everybody, everywhere, and it's going to be a horrible situation. Say it with me. Deal with me.
Deal with me.
Find God.
Find God.
And then be completely fixed. I can tell that tonight and somebody in the future that watches this video, I can tell right now by the Holy Spirit of God, you're saying, I didn't even know you could ever be free from this. Now watch. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. Yes, Mary, we are going to uproot it right now.
Revenge, yeah.
Everybody just say it. Say it with me. Revenge out of my life.
Revenge out of my life.
Right now.
Right now.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Find that, if you will. Find that verse for me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Stop trying to get revenge. But, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Hold it. Let me show you how to deal with it. You brought the word up. So Romans what? Romans 12:17 is the verse that's talking about vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is at all possible, live peaceably with all men. Do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Do what? If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. And one person said, I'm not going to feed him, or I'm not going to give him anything to drink, but I will do the coals of fire. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now watch this. You ever have somebody do you really bad, and you're like, that's it, I'm going to get him? Listen to this statement. Somebody type it out. As soon as you decide to take it in your own hands, God's hands are now tied. As soon as you decide to take matters in your own hands, God's hands are tied. Pastor, what in the world can I do? And I got to just stand there and take it? No, don't ever. Thank you, Shannon. Don't ever just stand there and take it again. Walk away. Isaiah 54, verse 17. And Chris, I missed the statement about the Avon lady, but I'm sure that was a really good laugh. So everybody, she just said the Avon lady, so everybody just laughed with me. You know how those Avon ladies are.
They're like the Amway men.
As soon as you decide to take matters in your own hands, God's hands are tied from helping you solve a problem. You know what will happen? You'll start operating the flesh. You'll get angry. You'll start cussing, swearing, doing things you shouldn't be doing. Why? Because you're trying to solve it in your own flesh, and you can't do it. Watch this. God's Siri. All right. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. 17. That's a good way to say it, Shannon. Verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is from you, Jesus. Watch. Some of you have had people do you wrong, and the first thing you do is go tell about five other people. You just sinned against them as bad as they sinned against you. As soon as you open your mouth and tell somebody else the story, you just sinned against them as bad as they sinned against you. Pastor, you're putting me in the corner. No, I'm not. I just set you free. Watch. Isaiah 54:17 says, as soon as somebody opens their mouth and speaks against you viciously, wickedly, sinfully, or even just confusedly, that's a good word. See if somebody can put that word out. Confusedly. Because some people aren't bad and they don't hate you. They're confused, but they're letting their mouth run. What do you do? The first thing you do when you hear it is, I condemn those words. And I command those words to fall to the ground. Jesus, help my brother and sister get their life right. I call them blessed. Reveal yourself to them in a way they can't deny it.
Amen.
Right now, tonight. Why? Because as soon as you condemn their words have to fall down. And they have no more power. And now you go into intercession from them, which the greatest form of love there is you're now interceding for your enemy and asking God to set them free so they can see it as they need to.
Yeah.
No. Have you ever seen the billboard that says the English language never had it so nice and it was Shakespeare? It's a billboard. The English language has never had it so nice. And then put my picture on there.
Yeah.
The word is confusedly. I love you guys. Hey, I'm really good at Scrabble. Because you can add an E-D and an L-L-Y or an L-E-Y to any word, all right? And I read a lot of Dr. Seuss, so I got some words now. Watch. Say it with me. Condemn the words, but not the person. Is that making sense? Because as soon as you condemn the words they're speaking, in faith, God goes to work and severs the ties of those words, and they don't have any effect. As soon as you run your, Dr. Lester, I'll said it this way. Somebody walked up and said, brother, did you hear what brother so-and-so said about you, Dr. Summerall? He goes, no, and I don't want to. They're like, what? He goes, puke comes from a sour belly. And you're not puking on me. And the guy was like, wow, that's an interesting statement. And a little later, he was getting some revelation from me. He said, help me see it. He said, it doesn't matter what somebody else says about you. It matters what you say about someone else when you hear what someone else has said about you. I'll say it again. It doesn't matter what someone else says about you. What matters is what you say about someone else once you hear what someone else said about you. Because it's nothing matters except words come out of your mouth. Laughing right outlook. Mary, or Rebecca, Outlook, I never laugh at the Microsoft program Outlook. It causes me to go to the other end of the spectrum. I never have liked that program. Now, let's get back to the focus here. Watch this. Because we're talking about forgiveness. You can never control what comes out of somebody else's mouth.
That's
true. Right? So the only thing you can do is control where you are and how close you are to that person. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a friend, they're continually making a mess with their lips about you, then you got to put a little more distance between you and them. And you might be like, yeah, but Pastor, I love them. I like being around them. But they're continually making a mess for you. Why are you going to stay there? Why let somebody continually beat you down who doesn't get it? But, Pastor, if I just let them one more time, and if I just do one more thing for them, no, that one more thing ain't going to do it. Because you can't one more thing someone else into the understanding of God and revelation. The thing you have to do is condemn their words and then become an intercessor. Lord, reveal yourself to them in a way they will not be able to misunderstand your love and your blessing in their life. Wow. What happens? Because if they learn the love of God, they're going to stop offending. Somebody just said, man, I just went into the intercession ministry because all my friends are messed up, and they might be. But here's the revelation you got to get from tonight. Get your heart fixed. I got to get my heart
fixed. Got to get my heart
fixed. I got to get my spirit man fixed. And then once you get yourself in line with the things of God and with God himself, then just don't ever let anybody take you there again. Don't be mean about it. Don't be mad about it. Don't be angry about it. That is not God. You are in, say it with me, I am in the ministry of reconciliation.
I am in the ministry of reconciliation.
2 Corinthians 5:17. I know. I'm taking away all your excuses to be angry and offended. They're not excuses. They're just the way you've learned to deal with the situations of your life. Phyllis K. Raymond, I got to get my heart fixed. Phyllis K. Raymond, we declare your heart fixed right now in the name of Jesus. Wilma Tony, we say welcome to you, ma'am. We love you. God bless you. Good to have you here. Did you catch fish? Well, I don't know. She lives in Home Lake, and she's getting in about 10 o'clock at night, so that means they're just off the lake. Did you catch fish? I don't know what she was doing.
Hope it was fun, whatever it was.
Wait, we don't need to know what you're doing. If you live by Home Lake, one of the most important questions I've ever asked you is, did you catch some fish? All right, that's just what I'm going to say.
Or did you get the pontoon launched successfully?
She just got back at 10 o'clock. How many mayflies did you eat? All right. That's what you ask in Houghton Lake, Michigan.
Oh, no kidding.
When you're from Houghton Lake, you're not offended at man. You're offended at God. Why did you make so many mayflies?
Oh,
Anyways. Fisher of men. Yeah, way to go, Wilma. There you go. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, say it. I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
He's a new creation.
He is a new creation.
See, all of a sudden, guys, we got to look at ourselves and say, wait a minute, I'm a new creation. I can't act like that old person. Yeah. Right? You've been made new. So that old way of acting, you can't act anymore. All things to become new. 18. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Do you realize you didn't do anything to deserve to be reconciled with the Father?
Yeah.
Do you realize that there's a lot of times in people's lives they won't do anything to deserve you reconciling with them in your relationship, but you still need to do it because you are a minister of reconciliation?
Yeah.
Now, reconciliation don't mean you got to go be best buds. But if that person truly gets reconciled to Christ, there is the potential that someone who once was your friend, you may actually get to go be friends with them again. Why? Because you truly were a minister, anointed minister of reconciliation to them and brought them back to the things of God. I know. You're like, got to listen to this message again. Yep, you do. And I'll get in there in YouTube tonight. And I'll put some timestamps in there. I'll delete everything except just the message. So when you go to YouTube message for this tonight and you watch it on your big screen, on your smart TV, you'll be able to go right to the message. If it's on your phone, click the timestamps and it'll take you to each of the verses. Why? Because I want you to be able to receive from God and to be free in your life and in your heart in Jesus' mighty name. Say it. I'm a minister of reconciliation.
I'm a minister of reconciliation.
Therefore, it is of absolute importance.
Therefore, it is absolute importance.
That I reconcile every relationship.
That I reconcile every relationship.
Wait, say it with me. I am anointed by God, to have no relationships out of order.
To have no relationships.
None. You're anointed. You're anointed by God to have every relationship in order. Now, that doesn't mean you everybody's going to be on that buddy-buddy list with you. Because some people don't get it. And until they get it, sign of the cross. I'll tell you a Dr. Barker story so nobody's offended at my story. All right? There was a man in his church. Did him really wrong. Really wrong. Really bad. Don't do people in church really bad. Just don't. Get your heart fixed. Anyways, he left church angry, bad, sad, mad, and went away. 25 years later, the man calls Dr. Barker and says, Pastor, I've got to get myself right with you. Can we please have a meeting? And Pastor said, I ain't meeting with you ever. He goes, well, no, really, but I really got to make things right. He goes, well, make it right. You're on the phone. What do you got to say? He goes, well, I'm really sorry. He goes, will you please forgive me? He goes, brother, I forgave you 25 years ago. He said, you did what? He goes, yeah, I forgave you 25 years ago. He goes, you mean all of this time I've been worried and frustrated and my life is absolutely destroyed and you forgave me immediately? He goes, I forgave you immediately. I remember there's some part of the story I just missed because Pastor threw from Michigan to California on his own dime. And the man said, wow, does that mean we get to do ministry together? He goes, I ain't never doing nothing with you. Took you 25 years to repent? I'm not ever going to do something with you. I'm glad you repented. I forgive you. Is everything clear? Can you go from here today knowing that your heart is clear? But If people won't grow and develop as a human being, and you're growing and developing as a human being, even a human string bean, kind of good.
We have time to tell the story about the gaspers that... The story,
wow, that's a good story. Yes, we're going to take time right now. Wow, that's a good story. Have you thought about it?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, have you been saying it? Oh, you gave it to him. Do you want to tell the story?
No, go ahead.
All right. You guys want me to tell the story or Leanne?
You know the details better than
me. Oh, this is a really good story. Say it. I am a minister of reconciliation.
I am a minister of reconciliation.
I have a ministry in God to help people get past themselves. God reconciled you when you didn't deserve it. God reconciled me when I didn't deserve it. Even though people don't deserve it, we got to reconcile with them. You may not be their friends, but you still have to reconcile. Watch. Here, listen to this story. This is a good friend. He was a pastor of a church. And you want Leanne to tell the story? Well, I got more details than she does. But I know. You guys like Leanne. Don't you like to see Leanne do programs? I do too. All right, watch this. This friend of mine is a pastor of a church. And I don't know, a bunch of things happened in his church or something. I don't remember. Something happened. Anyways, he ended up going to a doctor and asking him for some help so that he could calm his nerves and sleep at night. And so he was supposed to get a sleeping pill or something. Anyways, I'm messing that up, I can tell. Whenever you hear Brother Kim tell the story, believe it. But the doctor knew he was a pastor. And the doctor hated pastors. And the doctor prescribed a medication that burnt his nervous system up. When he would try to drink a cup of coffee, his hand would shake like that, so he couldn't even drink out of a cup. Literally, it burnt. The guy gave him the wrong dose on purpose, and it burnt his nervous system out. And Brother Kim had miracle crusades where people were healed, totally transformed. He can't get his own body healed. He don't know what's wrong with him. Right? You know, they go back and they do tests and they're like, he can't figure it out. He's been in it for a while. Everything about his life changes because he can't function. Well, then finally somebody says, why are you taking that much medicine? And well, that's what the guy gave me. And they're like, well, no wonder. This is what's happened to you, your nervous system. Well, now he's got this huge offense against the doctor. He doesn't know the doctor did it on purpose. He just knows the doctor did it. And then somehow he finds out the information that the doctor hates pastors. All right? But he's praying the whole time saying, Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. And God said, forgive him. Forgive him? I want to take a 2x4 to him. God said, forgive him. I think Kim said it took him like 6 months to get to where he could say, I forgive you. And finally one day he said, Lord, what do I do? He said, I want you to pray for that man like you would pray for your own daughters and your own loved ones and family with that much love in your heart. Well, then he said, then I had to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 every day. This is a mighty man of God pastor. Had the largest radio show in the state of Iowa for like 7 years. This is a very successful pastor. Now watch. God says, forgive him and forgive him. And so he's working on it. For 6 months, he forgives the guy. And he walks in the grocery store one day. And there's the doctor. How many of you know that you're on the line now whether or not you forgave? Because you got a choice. He's still shaking. He's still shaking. And he said, I walked right up to him and said, you know what, brother? I just want you to know I love you. And the guy's like, what? He goes, I love you. Even though I know what you did, even though I know you did it on purpose, I want you to know I love you. And I want you to know I'm praying for Jesus to change your life in every way. And the man broke right in the grocery store and said, will you please forgive me? That's a pretty cool part of the story, isn't it?
It is.
Wait,
it is.
Kim walked out of the store and he's still shaking. You still got to forgive the next day. See, God hates what people do to you. God don't do that to you. Watch this. Like a week or so, a couple of weeks later, he went to a conference in Midland. Dr. Barclay called him up and said, brother, the devil lost and you've won. And he laid hands on him, and Kim sat right down on the platform and just sat there just laughing, kind of like we do every now and then here, where you just almost roll around on the floor laughing. And his face is just beet red. He's just sweating red. He laughed like that for about 20 minutes. Now watch it. Everybody goes home. He wakes up in the morning at the hotel in Midland, goes down to the little room where they're serving breakfast, pours a cup of coffee, and drinks it. Doesn't even think about it. And I don't know, second coffee or whatever, he realizes, I'm healed. And guess what? He was healed from that point on. But he had to forgive the man. And he had to pray for the man to be saved. But you know what? When you and I pray, Acts chapter 1, show them an infallible proof in a way they can't deny. And guys, what God does is God gets involved and literally fixes every situation for everybody that's involved. You and I are ministers of reconciliation. That's not just a statement. That is a reality. That is the depth of the truth of who God Almighty is on the inside of you. And you can't go to God and say, I hate that person. He's going to say, go reconcile them to God. First Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. That's a good question. Thank you. We're going to go back and read it here in just a minute. Thank you for asking the question, Becca. And like Shannon said, she's got the list of verses for tonight, and she'll put them all together. And I encourage you, seriously, I encourage you, listen to this program again. Honestly, just turn it on. Let it play. I had some people that did me seriously wrong one time. Very seriously wrong. And I was coming up to a point where I knew I was going to have to be with them. And I'm in the ministry. I knew I had to be with them, and there was nothing I could do to get away from them. Now watch this. I said, what am I going to do, Lord? He goes, your heart isn't right. It's what he told me. I'm the pastor. He said, your heart's not right. And he sent me, a brother brought me a set of teachings about being offended. There were 12 videos in that series that were about 45 minutes long. Now listen, I want you to hear me. I'm not telling you to do something I haven't already done. And I don't already do. I listened to that series, 12 classes, 45 minutes each. I listened to that series 7 times that month. Why? Because I was determined when I walked in that building, I was not going to be offended. Because God can't use an offended person. I'd be able to deal with people for God to use you. And if you're not able to yet, don't worry about it. Don't freak out about it. get you fixed. That's why we're here, is to help you get fixed, is to help you. That's my assignment in God. That's my place in the kingdom. That's my place in this body. And your place is to be a person of stability and strength, standing right alongside of us. And all of us being ministry of ministers of reconciliation, everywhere we go, everywhere we go. So let's deal with this one more time. Number one, forgive yourself if you've done wrong. Make sure you're right with God. If you're here, you're right with God if you listen to what I teach. So you're right with God. Number three. Drop the charges. You got to drop the charges and forgive. You just got to do it. Number four, bind the words. Condemn words, not the person. Condemn the words, not the person. And then pray for God to reveal himself for them. Pray for an infallible proof for their lives. And if you have to, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 every day, because it will change who you are in your view of yourself and everyone around you. Mm-hmm. And everyone around you. Now, it's been a while since we've taught this lesson on forgiveness. We've probably taught this maybe three times, I would imagine, in the last year. But this is a good night. It's been a good one to do it. Sister Shannon's put the verses in there. And I'll get right in there and edit the YouTube video so you can go there and see it. You can come back and see Facebook too. It'll still be up. Successful getting Facebook to show up on my smart TV, but I can get YouTube to show up on the smart TV. And listen to it again and again. Honestly, if this is something you're dealing with, then listen to it again and again. Why? Because the revelation of Almighty God you got tonight will be more greatly impacted to you tomorrow. You'll hear me say things tomorrow you didn't even hear me say tonight. And it'll transform your life and set you free. Because God wants you to go to the next level. Amen. Say it. I'm going to the next level in God. Say this with me. I ain't living with a broken heart. I choose to live a life of no offense. And you can truly get there. Wait, let me help you with something. Now that we understand where the ministers of reconciliation, it don't ever matter what somebody says to you. From this point on, you'll never be offended again. Because you'll just look at them and say, wait, explain why you said that to me. And they'll say, well, this, this, and this. Well, all right, well, what about that, then, that, you said? Well, I don't know. And what you automatically begin to do, begin to talk and communicate and come to an understanding. And the only reason there is ever an offense is because we stop communicating with each other. And when there's two ministers of reconciliation that are focused on the purpose of reconciliation, it is impossible for that to fail. You are guaranteed to win. When both people are realizing I'm a minister of reconciliation, I will be reconciled with you. The moment somebody says, I'm out, then guess what? Reconciliation stops at that point. Amen. Thank you, fellas. Memorize it every day. Good night to you, Sunday Geyser. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's just read it through and we'll be done. We'll receive communion night tonight. It's a good night. Listen, as you listen to this again, write down questions. Number one, you're likely to get the answer when you write it down. You're likely to get it right while you're listening. Number two, it gives you the ability to come to the pastor, explain this to me in a different way so that I can understand it, because that's my place. That's what I'm designed by God to do for you. You ready? Amen. Love chapter. You ready? We're going to read it right now. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I do not have love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. And love thinks no evil. 6, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. Where there's prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is purpose comes, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became mature, I put away childish things. Now we see in the glass dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abides faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Say it with me. Now that I'm grown up,
now that I'm grown up,
I put away the childish things. And what is the childish thing? Offense. And holding a grudge and getting revenge. How about this statement? Oh, you want to mess with me? I'll show you what a real mess is. There's nothing about that statement that is God. Somebody wants to mess with you? Remove them from your situation, close the door, and don't open it. But as soon as you go after them, you've now sinned a sin that's worse than them because you know it. It's all right. Everybody's got to deal with this. Everybody. And the more we just speak the truth, the easier it is to see through it and to grow and develop. We'll never judge you. Everybody here has had to walk through it. I've had to walk through it. I'm a preacher. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have to walk through it a bunch of times. Why? Because everybody has the opportunity to be offended at the pastor. However, here's the revelation. We are walking through it because we are ministers of reconciliation. And he's going to help us get all the way through in Jesus' name. Come back tomorrow night. and we're going to teach out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to teach about some more of this, how to love yourself and how to love other people who are very incorrigible.
It's the anniversary, Angel.
Now, let's say happy anniversary to Angel and Alan. Mm-hmm. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, dear Angel. Happy anniversary to you. We love you, Angel.
Hope you had a great day. How many years have you been married?
Now, I want us to close this section so that we can get into communion with a prayer. Everybody pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for forgiving me.
Thank you for forgiving me.
Of all of my sins.
Of all of my sins. Wow.
Help me.
Help me.
To forgive everyone of their sins against me.
To forgive everyone of their sins against me.
Just like you have forgiven me.
Just like you have forgiven me.
You forgave me.
You forgave me.
I live in the power of that righteousness.
And I live in the power of that righteousness.
And I forgive those who have done me wrong.
And I forgive those who have done me wrong.
Now, Lord, help me learn to deal with those people.
Lord, help me to learn to deal with those people.
Where they can be in my life. And where they can't be in my life.
And where they can't be.
I pray this. In Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this according to the Holy Word of God.
And according to the Holy Word of God.
I pray this by the power of the Holy Spirit.
I pray this by the power of the Holy Spirit.
And I receive your forgiveness tonight.
And I receive your forgiveness.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. 24 years. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Congratulations to you. God bless you. Did you have a 24-layer cake?
Ooh.
I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do is have a 24-layer cake? I think so. In the mighty name of Jesus. Ah, what a night. What a night. What a night. Thank you, everyone, for your help. Thank you for your questions, your comments. Thank you for your prayers. We're getting ready to receive communion here. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's going to be a very good video that people can go and study over and over to be free. And to learn to forgive in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And now we're going to receive communion. No, nothing better to do when you talk about forgiveness than to go straight to the blood of Jesus and deal with it right at the source. Let me get a little drink here. Phyllis K. Raymond. I like 85 degree sun rays too. I just don't like it when it bakes this room.
Yeah, you're kidding me.
Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. Given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body that is broken for you. do this in remembrance of me. For in the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 26. As often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Verse 28. Let him examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Isn't that something how that matches with our lesson tonight? Because you got to judge yourself as the most important person to judge. Because you can't change anybody else. You have to change yourself. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this. This is perfect love in God. That you and I may have boldness in the day of judgment. That means no matter what anybody says, our lives are free from whatever it was they said. Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. We are his body. If Jesus forgives, guess what that means? We can forgive. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. Now watch this. All through the old, they had to sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice. They had a lot of feast, which I like a feast. It's a big feast they had. But they had to sacrifice a lot of animals. Their sins were not forgiven. They were just covered. You and I, we take a piece of bread and we take a glass of juice. That's all that animal sacrifice, and it's right here. It's the new covenant in his blood. Jesus wrapped it all up in this simple thing, because he said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let a man examine himself. Let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You ready? We're going to examine ourselves in this prayer. If you see unforgiveness in your heart right now, just pray this with me. Father, I forgive them.
Father, I forgive.
And I drop all the charges.
And I drop all the charges.
Now listen, till you get it right, that might be a prayer you have prayed a couple hundred times. And maybe a couple thousand for some people who have truly done you severely wrong. But I encourage you, don't stop until there's nothing left hiding in your heart. Just forgive. Ready? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
In every area.
In every area.
And according to the book of John.
And according to the book of John.
Jesus is the door to salvation.
Jesus is the door to salvation.
And I enter in through you, Jesus.
And I enter in through you, Jesus.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
And I receive the work you did for me.
And I receive the work you did for me.
Fill in my life.
Right? Fill in my life now.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
And according to John chapter 1.
And according to John chapter 1.
You give me the power.
You give me the power.
To become a child of God.
To become a child of God.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Still, now, do this. Here's all my sin. Put them in a big pile and say, there's all my sin.
There's all my sin.
I can't beat them in my own strength.
I can't beat it in my own strength.
Put your hands out there, I receive all of your righteousness.
That I receive all of your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. If that's the first time you ever prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. If that's the 100th time you prayed the prayer, welcome to the family of God. And you might say, Pastor, I've been a believer. I've just rededicated my life. Welcome to the kingdom. In that prayer, you went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. You went from your sin, which you can't beat in your own strength, nobody can, to Jesus' righteousness, which obliterates it all in your life. And that one prayer, the Father said, adopt them and make them my children. All in one prayer. Isn't that amazing? They put my email address and website in there so that you have the ability to contact me and ask me a question. There's a lot of people here. Sooner or later, we'll find somebody that you can relate with, and we'll get your questions answered, and we'll get you discipled in the things of God, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Welcome to the family of God. I've got 10 verses I want to send you, 10 foundation verses, that if you'll memorize them, if you'll live in them, and then ask questions about them, I will help you get your foundation in the thing of God. That's my place. That's what we do. And then every night, you grow in God in every way possible right here. And we bless you now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's receive our communion elements together now. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, Sister Mary Fernandez said she's experiencing a severe level of pain right now. There's no better thing to do when you're in pain than to receive the communion elements. Because this is his broken body and his blood. Father, in Jesus' name, as we pray these prayers, and we receive these communion elements, we declare that this pain and the root of the pain is gone forever.
Amen.
We bind you, spirit of infirmity.
Yes.
And we declare that as our sister receives these communion elements, that life and strength comes in her body right now.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. You ready? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes,
and by your stripes,
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my
and
community.
Right here in this community.
And right here in this community.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the bread together. Doesn't that just put a smile on your face? Mm-hmm. Knowing what Jesus has actually done in your life. Mm-hmm. You ready? The blood of Jesus, the most powerful cleansing force. Pray it with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been purged from my life.
Has been purged from my life.
And I'm a new creation.
And I'm a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
The accuser of the brethren.
And there's no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
In my life.
In my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for
in
me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Let's receive the juice together. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Rebecca, I've not heard any, Rebecca. I've not heard anybody say that communion is water and bread. Now, I've said it here from time to time, even if what you have is bread and water. Jesus turned the water into wine. But at the Last Supper, Jesus had, he had wine, I guess. I don't know. At the Last Supper, never thought about that. Just always took it. When I was a kid, I thought it was Welch's grape juice. I just didn't realize Mr. Welch wasn't alive during Jesus' day. But anyways, it's what my dad always used. So I don't know if that is a doctrine of some denominations. If it is, shoot me an email. Let's talk about it. Seriously. Because I'll learn something new, and I like learning something new. And we always use grape juice and bread. Some people use wine and bread. The one guy on the flight line in Iraq that called me during the war, he had Gatorade and a Cheez-It. But the idea is he wanted to partake of the Lord's Supper together, and we helped do that. So that's where that's at. That's really good. Make sure you shoot me an email. You always do, and that's a good thing. Let's pray. Oh, wait, let's sing, I mean. Let's sing the song about the blood. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches from the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows through the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, will never lose its power. Oh, I get it. It's Ashley that we're talking to.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was water and bread. Mama can't drink, and I don't like to, so Mom used a little soda and a Cheez-It. There you go. There you go. All right, I got it. I kept trying to figure out how to get the ash in there. All right? And I'm thinking, well, now the Catholics have Ash Wednesday. I wonder how this all fits together tonight, but I got it. All right, good question. Thanks for asking. I would say the only thing I've seen throughout my life is grape juice and bread. And then some people use, you know, some churches actually use wine and bread, some form of wafer. But if you don't have grape juice, Jesus turned the water into wine, so just use water. The idea is we're worshiping the Lord for what he's done in the mighty name of Jesus. And I speak over every one of your lives the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. My closing verse, I'm going to beat the clock. My closing verse is this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. How many of them? All of them. All of them and the great cloud of witnesses and all of that. What is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height? And to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you be filled with all the fullness of God. And here's the thing. When you're filled with all the fullness of God, you know what that means? It means you truly have the ability to forgive people and be able to walk free. You really got to have is somebody teach you how to deal with all them folks that have done you wrong. Once you get them in the right place and you get people in the right place, you'll never have another worry about this. Another day of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Who's left in YouTube? Sign in real quick because I'm saying good night. Bless you, Shannon. Love you. Thanks for all your help, man. We love you. We love you. And we declare all coyotes stay away from Shannon's house.
Yeah. No kidding.
Mary Petrick, we love you too. Phyllis K. Raymond, we love you. Rebecca, we love you. Becca Chapman, Ashley, bless you guys. Angel Collier, love you too. What a group. Aunt Wilma. Wilma, we love you too. Velma, thought I saw Velma sign in, didn't I? And I even thought I saw Robert, but it don't look like he made a comment. In the mighty name of Jesus. Till we see you tomorrow at noonish. Good night, Phyllis. We love you. Thanks for being a part of this. Audrey Van Gessel, we love you too. Dan and Gwen, Dave and Gwen, Mike and Shannon, all the stalwarts of the faith. Even Brother Tim Brown, love you too, brother. Come on, that's awesome. Glad to have your daughter with you tonight. Amen. Thank you for your love. We appreciate it and we receive it. We really do. Enjoy it in Jesus' mighty name. Philly, we'll see you soon. Looks like that's Julie Nembamala, we love you. Mary Fernandez, we love you. Brother Dan Beer, Sister Nassim, we love you. Where are we at? Love you too, Audrey. Isn't that awesome?
It is.
I just love to sit here and say we love you. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are, mm-hmm. around the world, call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. See you soon.
Bye.